read a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We were referencing speaking in tongues, or rather Paul was. One of the things he says is that there must be a clear trumpet call when it's referring to things that are distinguishable for people to understand, whether that's an instrument or whether that's words given from the Spirit. And that's something that as leadership we always try to do, or rather we know that God wants to do in our services is to have a clear trumpet call, something that from beginning to end, it shows up in the worship, it shows up in all aspects, because he's saying the same thing. And when we truly hear from him, he is saying the same thing. And we just sang that he will not relent until he has it all. Kevin, earlier during the time of exhortation, talked about lordship. He must have it all. We're starting a new series today called Walking in the Spirit. It's a synonym for lordship. Nothing more, but certainly nothing less. And when I was in my study praying before the service started, a scripture came to mind, and I just want to read it to you before we get started, if I may. It's in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Now notice this again. This is a clear trumpet call. He's saying the same thing. He's sounding the trumpet so that we would go to war with our flesh. We would go to war with our sin nature, with our apathy. John 8:31, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, so he's speaking to a handful, to a multitude, we're not sure, of Jews that believed in him. We could just as easily say he's speaking to us today, the Gentiles that believe in him. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. He's speaking to people who believe him, and he's saying, if, conditional word, if you hold to my teachings, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This series, we're going to be talking about a freedom that is ours in the Holy Spirit. But that freedom can only come through the truth, can only come through the fact that he has it all. He has every aspect of us. There's a tendency in us as Christians to have hierarchy or levels or degrees that we think of. We think of when we first come to Christ, that's salvation, and then there's another step of lordship, and perhaps another step of hearing his voice and walking in the Spirit. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus says that's false. They are one and the same. When he becomes Savior, he must become Lord. He will have it no other way. It's not Christianity 2.0. It is Christianity, period. When we follow Christ, we follow his Spirit. When we follow his Spirit, we make Jesus Lord. Plain and simple. We're going to be taking a four-week journey through Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through chapter 6, verse 10. If you want to turn there now, 20 short verses. We're going to take 4 weeks to walk through, because it's that important. As you're turning, I'm going to actually have you also look up here. You'll see a stage design up here, and I've had people ask, are they piano keys? Do you see black keys in between? I'm kidding. No, they are not piano keys. It's a crosswalk, because I believe it represents where God has us, where his Spirit has us right now as individuals and also at a church. We are at an intersection, and he is providing for us a crosswalk. He's providing a way to walk in him that will cross this intersection that we're at. Do you believe that? So Are you willing to be open to have your life changed? Am I willing to have my life changed? Going over these 20 short verses in Galatians. Let's pray about that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you will not relent until you've had it all. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful when we are not faithful, because we are so quick to give up, to give in, to give out. But Lord, you do not relent. Lord, you are continually telling us, you are continually giving us a crosswalk so that we might cross this intersection that we're at, Lord. Lord, many of us, maybe all of us, are at this place where we know there's more. We know there's more of you. We know that there's freedom to be had in you. There's freedom over the temptations that we tend to continue to give into. We know that there's freedom from feeling depression, and freedom from just feeling ill and yuck when it comes to life. We know that there's joy in your spirit that we're not experiencing. So Lord, help us on this journey. Lord, not that 4 weeks is some sort of magic trick, but Lord, I believe that you are wanting to show us something in your word about your spirit. Lord, I pray that we would be open to it, Lord. We would allow it to change our lives. Or we would not come into this as, okay, after this message, then I'll go home and eat lunch and go on with the rest of my day, and then my week starts. But Lord, that this would be the reason that we came, the reason we got dressed and got in the car and got the kids ready and came all this way to come to church, Lord, was because we are ready for you to do something in us. And if you really prayed that, say amen. Galatians chapter 5. We're actually only going to cover 2 verses this morning, but I'm going to go ahead and read all 20 so that we understand what's ahead of us. Verse 16 of chapter 5. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature or flesh. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. Verse 6, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. I like that one. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Those 20 verses outline for us what it means to walk in the Spirit. Let's look at the first two. But first, here's an overview of what you can expect the next couple weeks. Today, I want to talk about being led by the Spirit. What does that mean? What does that look like? How can I make that available to myself? Week two, the fruit of the Spirit. We just took 7 weeks talking about spiritual gifts and what it means to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is part of being empowered, and this is something that it bears fruit in our lives. Being in step with the Spirit. If he's leading us, there's also an aspect of it that we should be in step with him. And then week four, investing in the Spirit. That he's called us to do that. That we will reap a harvest if we invest in his Spirit. Okay, so the first two verses, again, are verse 16 and 17. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. That should be really exciting for us now. Every single one of us, again, whether it's some sort of a addiction that you have, or it's just you have anger inside of you, or greed, or you're looking at what your neighbor possesses and wishing it was yours, whatever the sin, whatever level we think it's at, that should excite us that there is a way out. Verse 17, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What does it mean in Scripture to be led by the Spirit? This is not the only occasion that we read it. We see Jesus being led by the Spirit. We see his disciples being led by the Spirit. Paul, that's one of his favorite phrases to say, is led by the Spirit. So let's look at that so we all have an understanding. First of all, it is not the reward or the result of spiritual attainment. In other words, when we are saved, when we invite Christ to take over our lives, and notice I use the words take over our lives, that truly is salvation. If we have not done that, we need to talk to God. He truly takes over. Walking in the Spirit or being led by the Spirit is not a reward. It's not something that you did good. You prayed that prayer. You surrendered your life. Now, because of that, you're going to walk. Instead, it is the condition of all spiritual attainment. We receive the Spirit, but it is the condition that we continue to receive the Spirit. And I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, there's that condition word again, that conditional word. We're programmed as Christians to think unconditional, no matter what. Just unconditional, that's the right word. The same thing we ask kids an answer in Sunday school. They always say Jesus, and it's usually the right answer. Likewise, we always, no, unconditional. Everything about the Christian walk is unconditional. No, his love is unconditional, but being in Christ is very conditional, your placement in him. The walking in the Spirit, all of these things are conditional. It's the condition of spiritual attainment. So what does that look like? The Holy Spirit is the leader. We need to know that from the get-go. He's not a follower. Most of us who feel like, and I say us, not you, most of us feel like we can decide something and ask the Holy Spirit to bless it, ask the Holy Spirit to anoint it, to make it look good, to make it feel good, to make it powerful. And what we're doing is we are attempting to lead the Holy Spirit. And he has no part of that. He just doesn't. Samson, he did not realize the power of the Spirit was released from him. went away from him, and we'll find ourselves in a likewise condition if we are continually saying, I've got an idea, come with me, Holy Spirit. It's the other way around. He leads always. He's not a follower. And if we can just even shift that, if today that's the only thing that shifts in our minds, I think God can do something in us. Led, used here in Galatians, and also we're going to look at Romans chapter 8 as well, is the Greek word ago. Ago means to lead or to bring. So he brings us into the presence of God. That's the leading of the Holy Spirit. He leads us into, Kevin talked about leading him to this man who was homeless, that was a drug addict sitting on the side of a store before he went in to have lunch. He led him to that moment. He brought him there. That's what this word means. It also means to drive. This is a little bit more of an aggressive word that we can think of than lead or to bring, at least in the English language, to drive. Jesus, it says, was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness, at least in two of the gospel accounts. In Mark's account of Jesus being led into the wilderness for 40 days to be tested by the enemy, he actually uses another Greek word, an even more aggressive one than ago, and he uses expello, or exbalo, which means to cast out. The same word used when Jesus casts out demons. The Holy Spirit, there's a sense here, even in this word, that there's force behind it. He drives us, if we allow him to. To reflexively go, what do you think of the word reflect, a reflex? Usually a reflex is something you don't think about. You just do. Your body engages. A doctor hits you on the knee and your leg just reflexes. It comes up. You don't think to do it. Your mind doesn't tell your leg to do it. There's a reflex that's involved. Likewise, being led by the Holy Spirit is reflexive. It's something that the more we do it, the more we walk in him, the more we're being led by him. It's more of a reflex to go. We go because the Spirit is leading us. We go before we even sometimes engage our minds to do it. It means to pass time. We can't get away from time. If we're trying to circumvent time when it comes to lordship, when it comes to being led by the Holy Spirit, we've already missed it. We've missed the boat. Likewise, even this Greek word to lead or to be led by the Spirit has to do with time. Time involved, time invested. And it means to induce. Now, being led here is more than just mere guidance. In John chapter 16, Jesus says that the Spirit of truth will come and guide you into all truth. That Greek word is hedego, which is a derivative of ego. So it's part of it, but it's a little lessened. It's guiding as in teaching and showing. This word has a little bit more force, and I want to demonstrate it. Obed, could you come up here, please? I've asked Obed to help me with something. Sometimes it helps for us to see things. So hopefully it does for you too, if you don't fall. So being led by the Holy Spirit, sometimes we think is he carries us. And so we're walking along this path, and he's carrying us. You know, we don't have any problems in our lives. He carries us. But that's false. You can get down now. Nice try. That's false. We still walk through these issues. Remember, Jesus was led into the wilderness. He was led into temptation. He was led into problems. And we are likewise as well. But the Holy Spirit, he's not carrying us, but he's with us. Likewise, will you sit, please? He's also not dragging us. You know, well, I was saved, and so he's a part of my life, and so even when I don't want to, he's just going to drag me. That's not being a part of what it means to be led. That's not what this word means. He doesn't carry us to where we don't get dirty, to where he just takes over our bodies. He takes over our consciousness and, oh, I didn't even realize I did it. I must have been led by the Spirit. No, we are walking. We are doing it. I'm so old. But this is what I believe it is, though. He puts blinders on us. We can still see, but he's influencing us. When we're allowing him to lead us, he puts blinders on. And he's not dragging, he's not carrying, he's steering. He's steering us. And that's another word for drive too, by the way. When we drive a car, this one is kind of faulty. It's like one of those buggies with a wacky wheel. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Let me have my cool shades back. Give it up for Obed. He's giving us freedom from sin, from our sin nature. Therefore, the blinders to demonstrate that. The sin isn't taken away. The temptation isn't taken away. When we're allowing him to control us, when we're allowing him inside of us to steer us, he helps us. He helps us to stay focused, to be single-minded. And that's truly what we're called to be. And when we're being led by the Spirit, that's what happens. Let me read to you more of what Paul says. Again, this is something that is a pet peeve, if you will, or something that is near and dear to Paul's heart. And he speaks to the Romans in Romans 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. Now, I realize we have all ages in here. We have all ages, not just in physical years, but also spiritual years. I can guarantee you, because you're human, and I put myself in this place as well, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, according to Romans chapter 3. And that's the truth. We've all sinned. Today, by the way. So, we've all sinned. Part of this struggle that's within us, and when we feel like there's times even that we give up. Well, I'll just give up and I'll give in. It's because we're living according to the sinful nature. And they have their mind set on what the nature desires. If you keep feeding your sinful nature will lead you. Plain and simple. I read John 8, 31 and 32. Verse 34, Jesus pretty much says that if you sin or if you live in sin, you are a slave to sin. It's just, that's what it is. Something is going to lead you. It's either going to be the Holy Spirit or it's going to be your sin nature. But you are being led. Make no mistake. You are not in control. You are not in charge. We are all slaves. Either a slave of Christ or a slave to the enemy through ourselves. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So I believe another way of saying being led by the Spirit is that our minds are controlled by the Spirit. The sinful man, verse 7, is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Again, we like to look at Scripture. We like to look at our own experiences, our own experiential life, and say that there are levels. There's carnal man. There's man that is still in the flesh, still in sin, and he said the prayer. And then there's this 2.0 version that is somehow better, that goes to more Bible studies, maybe goes to life group, and maybe even tithes. And then there's 3.0. This is maybe a leader, somebody who can lead that Bible study. And we think of all of these layers, and then whatever layer we're on, we tend to look down, and Jesus says there's two. There's two. There's either being controlled by the sinful man or being controlled by the Spirit. There's two types of people. See, the layers are easier for us because it calls for less of us. We can continue to straddle both, if you will, to kind of be both in the flesh and in sinful nature and a little bit in the Spirit, especially on Sundays, bless God. He's calling us out of that. We're at an intersection and he's providing a crosswalk. Verse 9, you, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Paul is talking just matter of facts. He's like, I don't understand. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you must live by the Spirit of God. Skip to verse 12. Verse 12, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. What do we hear? The devil made me do it. When we are living by our sinful nature, we do have an obligation. In some ways, the devil did make us do it. However, if we have the Spirit of God in us, we have no obligation to that. Verse 13, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, maybe this will blow your mind. I want this to continue to impact your thinking as far as levels. He says, if you're led by the Spirit of God, what is it to be led? It means to be brought to the presence of God. It means to be brought to the presence of people. It means to be driven. It means to have your mind controlled by the Holy Spirit. It means for your mind not to be controlled by the sin nature. If all of that means to follow the Holy Spirit, again, a synonym being give him lordship. He's the Lord of your life. He's in control of your life. You and I are not. Says, if you're led by the Spirit of God, then you are sons of God. That is what he defines as salvation. I was going to drop my mic, but I'd have to take it off. So being led by the Spirit explained by Paul, let me just give you some points taken from that Romans 8 passage. Our mind being controlled by the Spirit brings life and peace. Being controlled by the Holy Spirit. You know, we pray for peace. We pray for life. We pray for God protect me from all of these thoughts. It's in the Spirit. It's allowing him to be in control. It's an obligation to live according to the Spirit. Let's not miss this, guys. It's an obligation that takes away the, well, I'm not quite there yet. Now, Paul talks about sanctification, particularly in Romans. I realize sanctification is a process of becoming more and more like Christ and letting the sin nature fall off. Yes, it is a process, no doubt. I don't want to take that away or say that it's not true. However, we have an obligation. What does obligation mean? You must do it. If you are in Christ, you must live according to the Spirit. It's not, hey, if you want to be even better, you can also live by the Spirit if you'd like. Being moved by the Spirit means to be killing sin, present tense. If you notice, all of these passages that we're talking about in Galatians as well as in Romans all has to do with sin. You know, we want to hear more about how does the Spirit lead us to talk to the same kind of guy that talked to Kevin. And he does do that. However, our ears aren't in tune to hear that until we're fighting the sin. Truly, the number one thing that walking in the Spirit does is allows us to fight our sin nature. That every single one of us has, no matter if you are more outgoing than the next person. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, I can never talk to somebody. Your sin nature applies to you just as it applies to me. Leads us into war with our sin. That's what being led by the Holy Spirit is. Think of it as like a general inside of us that is always leading us to war. Get this. Within that is freedom. I know that that's kind of counterintuitive. Within that, that's freedom. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When we receive freedom from sin, we receive joy and peace and freedom that comes from that. But make no mistake, he's constantly leading us into a battle. If we're not feeling that battle, and I'm not saying it's always treacherous and horrible and kill myself now, type stuff. But if we're not feeling that we're in battle, that we're in a fight, then maybe we somehow have either said, let me lead for a while, Holy Spirit, or we've just said, let me get off this intersection and go somewhere else. It's about sonship, ultimately. He who is led by the Spirit is the Son of God. It's about sonship. Now, we think of a son, we think of adoption. All throughout Romans, he talks about adoption, that we are adopted by God. But sonship, I want us to think there's two important aspects of being a son, whether we're born into the family or daughter or adopted, and that's position and relationship. We have a position in Christ Jesus. That is conditional. His love is always unconditional. His position is conditional. We are his son. That is our place in him if we are led by the Holy Spirit in this relationship that we have with God. This relationship, don't you want to know God? I mean, I think all of us cries out during incredible worship like today, oh God, I want to know you. Oh God, I just want to know it. I want to know more about you. I want to see your face. And we're crying out all of this, and we're separating the two. We're still saying, well, I believe in you, but I'm not going to keep to your word. Jesus said to the believers, if you keep my word, you are truly my disciples. We tend to separate it. I want to line out real quick, and then we're just about to end. That's famous for preachers, by the way. Four things that about adoption in Paul's day, Roman adoption in Paul's day, can just be eye-opening. So we have this sense of what adoption is. Adoption is special. There's people here that have been adopted or have adopted. And I realize one of the things that's special is you were chosen or you chose someone. It wasn't just happenstance, you chose. And that's beautiful, that's awesome, and that is a part of adoption. But these four things, let these just wash over you, that when Paul talks about adoption, he's his first intended recipient of his letter would understand these four aspects, maybe far greater than we would. First, the person who is adopted loses all rights to the old family, and they gain all new rights and being a fully legitimate son. So he can no longer be called a part of that family. He's now a part of this family. He becomes heir to his new father's estate. Everything that is God's is ours, because we were adopted by him. The third thing, the old life of the adopted person was completely wiped out legally. It was canceled as though it was never there before. Does that remind you of sin? That's what Christ does for us, because we are adopted. And then finally, he took his father's name. Just as in our society, when we're adopted, we take our new father's name most of the time. And a name, particularly in biblical times, meant your identity. It meant who you were, what you were placed in. This is what it means to be led by the Spirit, is to actually be adopted. Again, it's not I'm adopted and then eventually I'll get to a place of being led by His Spirit. We've got to separate that. We've got to stop that. It's unbiblical. It's toxic. Guys, I know I keep making this point, but I think it's prevalent in all of us. And even at the end of this, there's still something in me, there's something in you that still thinks, okay, well, yes, we can grow in all things, certainly, but there's not a stepping ladder. Jesus is very clear. This is what it means to follow me, and this is what it doesn't mean. And we have levels, we have degrees that we want to gain, and it's all because we still want to be led by the flesh. 1 Corinthians 2:10-16. He says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. We've been dealing with the Spirit and what he does with sin, and really we could stop there, but there's other aspects of being led by the Spirit I wanted to show us in this passage. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Man, don't we all want to know the deep things of God? When we're led by His Spirit, that's what He's leading us into. Not just leading us into battle against our sin, which He certainly is, but He's leading us into the deep knowledge of the Father. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given. A better understanding, a better base of knowledge. He leads us into the deep things. It's special to be led by His Spirit. If we would stop trying to lead. Verse 13, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Explaining spiritual realities. Man, when we're led by the Spirit of God, He explains spiritual realities. This reality that what we see, the fight that we have with our neighbor, with our friend, with our coworker, is not really flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and high places. How would we know that? Scripture says it, but He leads us into those things. He shows us this is a spiritual matter. This is a spiritual reality. He opens our eyes spiritually. With Spirit-taught words, verse 14, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Holy Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct Him? But we have the mind of Christ. When we're led by the Spirit, we actually have the mind of Christ. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind when we're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us because we have the mind of Christ. That's exciting. I want to end with going back to our two verses in Galatians. Galatians 5, 16 through 18 again. It says, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Do you remember in school when you studied cause and effect? This is cause and effect. If you walk by the Spirit, that's the cause. The effect is you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. So simple, but it should be going, my mind has just been blown. I struggle. I fight. I have an accountability partner. I pray, God, please take this from me. Please remove this from me. Oh, my God, I don't want to keep doing this. Paul in Romans 7 said, the things that I want to do, I find that I'm not doing. The things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And then he says, oh, wretched man I am. He's referring to his sinful nature. And we do the same thing. If we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now notice, we will not gratify them. It doesn't mean that the sinful nature, that the desires of that sinful nature are gone. But he puts blinders on us. We're more focused on Him. The desires are still there, but we don't give in to them. We don't gratify those desires. This should be exciting. Man, somebody should be doing a cartwheel right now. Man, if we only had a Pentecostal church. Oh, I'm just playing. Verse 17. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want, just like Paul said in Romans 7. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. This sometimes can make no sense to us. What does that mean? Does that mean, oh, okay, I get it. So there's grace and there's the law, and we're under grace now, we're not under the law. But Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. So what do we do with that? And then here, he doesn't mention grace, but he says, if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What is that really meaning? I believe this is what this means. The law is still there, because without the law, how would we know what was right and wrong? The law is good. The law is good. The difference here is, under the law, we know we shouldn't. When we're led by the Spirit, we don't want to. Don't you want to get to that place? I'm tired of just beating myself up. Oh, I shouldn't do this. I know I shouldn't do this. Gosh, why do I keep doing this? I don't want to do this. Have I made that point clear? I don't want to do this. God, seriously, I don't want to do this. If we're led by the Spirit, I don't want to do this at all. It's just the desire is taken away. Yes, that nature is still fighting against me, but I'm not under the law any longer. I can't. It's because I don't want to. Could I have the worship team come up, please? It's a lot of food for thought. I don't want for anybody to feel condemnation. There's therefore no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But the Holy Spirit inside of us convicts. When he convicts us, he convinces us that his words are true, and convinces us or convicts us, draws us to himself, because we are not doing what he says. So in other words, we may believe in him, but we are not following him. We are not following his words. I also don't want us to just bring this down to, yeah, okay, he's talking about sin and not sinning, and yeah, got it. Clear as a bell. Yeah, I get it, that God doesn't want us to sin. God wants us to live in him. There is freedom that is ours that we're not experiencing. And I say we very carefully. I hope you pick up on it. There's freedom in the Spirit that we are not experiencing, and we're at crossroads, and he's providing us a crosswalk for us to walk across. We must walk in his Spirit. We must give up control. We must say, I'm done. And as that guy, Kevin, jumped off the stage and said, I'm all in. Similarly, we should say, I've been screwing it up trying to lead. I know that you won't. We're going to have an opportunity to take communion together as families. The children are coming in with the Roots workers. I want to read 9 verses. Read 9 verses from 1 Corinthians 11. You can turn there if you want, or just listen. Maybe closing your eyes is better for you. Not because nobody sees, but maybe because you don't need to see. Maybe you just need to focus. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let me just add, we are called into his death. What does that mean? We are called into his death. We are to die to self. We are to die to our sinful nature. The very things we're talking about as far as what it means to be led by the Spirit is what we're called to. So the very thing that we're going to do, the elements, drinking the little cup of grape juice and eating the little wafer or cracker, represents not just remembering what he did for us, but what he's called us to do in himself. And as often as we do it, we do show the Lord's death till he returns. Again, what does that mean? It means remembering what he did, but also remembering what we are called to do as well. Verse 27, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. What an awesome opportunity to just check our hearts right now, to just evaluate where we are. Again, picture in your mind this crosswalk that he has us on, that there's this intersection. I'm going to keep living my life the way that I was living it, maybe going to church every Sunday and reading scripture, and maybe you know more scripture than all of us put together, but there's still a difference between that and walking in his spirit, being completely sold out. So just examine your hearts right now as the ushers come and pass out the elements to us. And the worship team leads us. Can I have the ushers, please?